Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. And we are so happy because we have on the phone with us right now Helen Strike. She is the president of the Regina Hospital in Hastings and the River Falls Hospital. And she also has been tasked with the Allina Health Systems Incident Commander, which is, I'm interested in learning more about that. But certainly, this is just a crazy time. And so we're grateful that she was able to chat with us because we do have a lot of questions about what is going on. So welcome to KDWA once again, Helen. Thank you.
Thank you, Mo. I'm happy to be here.
Well, we're so happy that you were able to call in. So first of all, I know that this is really unprecedented for everyone. Is this unprecedented for you as well?
Yeah, pretty well unprecedented. To have this as a worldwide pandemic is just been many, many years since we have experienced this. And I think even looking back at H1N1 in, I think around 2009, we were just not experiencing this kind of media, the kind of concern, the extraordinary mitigation that the federal governments around the world are taking. So in a lot of ways that's excellent, and in a lot of ways it's very stressful for folks that we haven't experienced before, including here at Allina Health. We have my role as System Incident Commander is to help to lead all of our site teams across our system of 11 hospitals and 90 clinics in our response to all of the things we need to do to be mitigating and to be making sure that we're following all the right guidelines from the CDC and the World Health Organization.
And how often are those guidelines changing?
Oh, about every hour and a half. No, it's not quite that much, but it is certainly daily. We are seeing changes to major mitigation strategies from the federal government, from the state, from our cities, and then changes from the things that we need to pay more attention to, like personal protective equipment or testing, certainly is changing on a daily basis.
Well, I'm curious to know how you are helping your own employees with this, because people are so self-absorbed, it seems, in many ways, and worried about themselves getting sick, but certainly your folks are on the front lines.
You know, Mo, we look at it two ways. We look at it, what is the best way we can help our caregivers to be prepared and have the information and the equipment and the protocols that they need to be on the front line with our patients. And then we are looking at our employees' well-being for how they are managing their personal lives and the needs they have there, as well as how they have the answers to the information they need with all of the stuff that's changing at the state level and federal level, and ensuring that our communication tools are easily accessible through our internal, we call it the AKN, the Allina Knowledge Network, that allows as soon as we can to get things updated for them so they have a place to go.
So can you give us a little idea about what the breakdown, you have limited people visiting hospitals, but how does that trickle down then to the Allina Clinic as well? What are some of the new things that you've put into place?
We have certainly, one of the things that are most visible to everyone at Regina Senior Living as well is the restriction of visitors. We know that our patients are the most vulnerable because they're already ill. We know that our patients in our Regina Senior Living, that is run by BHS and a great partner of ours, is doing their own strategies around visitors, because we know that the elderly and people over 65 are the most vulnerable in this virus, so we're grateful to have a great partnership with them. It is stressful to decrease visitors. As we see on the news, we have family members talking through windows to their family members. I know for our patients in the hospital, it is a long day when you don't have visitors. So we're helping to encourage our families to use new, different ways maybe to communicate, using their iPads or phones for FaceTime. And at Regina, we have some technology available with iPads for our families should their loved one want to use one. So those are the kinds of things. It's also difficult when you're about to have a baby when you have restricted visitors hours. So we have special visitors hours for our maternity, our family birth center. And that's going to be difficult because you can only have one person with you while you're having your baby. So our family birth center unit is, I'm sure, trying to help as much as they can for moms who are about to deliver to work through those. Very stressful.
No kidding.
Really hard.
Well, we certainly are so happy that you are getting the word out about so many things. Can we please go back a little bit to the beginning of all of this? Because I think we heard about it in the news, you know, maybe around Christmas, the first part of the year, but I'm really not exactly sure what the coronavirus or COVID-19 is. And I'm just wondering, are those words used interchangeably? What exactly is it?
Coronavirus is the higher level title for the type of virus this is. It's a new virus in an old family. So you might remember SARS or MERS, Middle Eastern
Yes.
Respiratory Syndrome. We love our acronyms. But they do help us to classify what a virus is and make it so it's easier to understand. So coronavirus, this is the family where we have a new virus. And the new virus has a name that is easily recognizable of COVID-19. And that is the name just like the name SARS or MERS. Is that clear?
Yes, it is. Thank you. So how did this originate? Because you hear some conflicting stories, and I want to be sure that I understand and we can get the word out. Did this come from China, and does it have something to do with bats?
The coronavirus is a virus that can transfer from animals to humans. How that virus originally happened is still being looked at. Its initial place where it was a center of a cluster was in Wuhan in China. There are lots of theories about that, but for us to say China, this specific part of China has markets at which live animals are working, are closely around working people, and there's a potential, the strong potential that the virus crossed to humans in that environment.
Helen, is this something then that could cross back to our pets? Because can I tell you, now, more than any time, I am not keeping my dog 6 feet from me.
Yeah, I think we need to keep up to date with that on the CDC and the World Health Organization. There was some comment about a crossover of the virus to a dog in Hong Kong many, many weeks ago. But so far we're hearing not to worry about that. It hasn't been substantiated as a directive from the CDC, so we'll just leave that alone for now, Mo. You're okay.
Okay, thank you. And what about how we can actually contract it? We know about washing our hands.
The reason we're washing our hands and staying 6 feet apart, and we'll talk some more about that, is because we consider the transmission of this virus to be a droplet or contact, so that it comes out of your body when you are positive with the virus, with a cough or a sneeze, and then it can land on a surface. And so we are asking you, the most important thing is to wash your hands. Wash them frequently and often, and for at least 20 seconds. And if you sing the ABC song or Happy Birthday twice, that gets you to about 20 seconds. Something I learned in nursing school.
Oh, gosh. So that is a good way to help avoid it. But the 6 feet apart, that's so that if somebody does cough, we're not going to...
Yeah. You know, the way the epidemiologists talk about this is that the way the virus can be pushed out and into the atmosphere when you cough or is likely to be less than 6 feet. So keeping a distance is just a really preventative thing to do. And it's all got to do with this flattening of the curve.
Yes, tell me about that, please.
So flattening of the curve, I think, is a really good way for us to talk about how do we stop the transmission as a society between people. And we've learned from China and from Italy and from Spain and what's happened in Washington that by getting people apart from each other, decreasing, we're social animals, so by decreasing the amount of time we are together socially, we can decrease any possible spread of this virus. And flattening the curve means that if we can keep people apart with less people getting the virus or becoming positive, something we all talk about now, we can actually spread out the transmission and really decrease the amount of people who get sick at a time. And this is important for protecting our hospital's capacity, protecting nursing homes, protecting all sorts of places at which if we had a cluster of spread that we could get into a problem just like happened in the nursing homes in Washington.
Because so many people are sick at once and it overloads the system?
Correct, yes. By asking people to stay at home and not go out into social places, by closing bars and restaurants, it means that we will decrease the number of people who are getting sick. But when there is someone who's positive in your home or in your workplace, isolating them immediately means there's less chance of transmission. So when you have symptoms like a cough, a fever, and shortness of breath, that has some potential that you have the symptoms of the COVID virus. When those symptoms occur, you need to completely isolate yourself and stay home for 14 days. If you don't have symptoms, we're still asking yourself to self-monitor, so check yourself for symptoms, and we're still asking you to stay home as much as you can because we don't want you to potentially be positive and spread, and we don't want you to get sick. So they both sort of mean the same thing for different reasons, and the real answer to it is let's just do social distancing for as long as we can, at least for 14 days.
Is there a treatment for this?
There is supportive treatments for symptomatic things. If you become very ill and have shortness of breath, of course there are supportive treatments, but there is no cure and there is no vaccination available now. So that's what makes this a little more difficult. We've experienced this with other viruses, like a few years ago with Ebola. We've got a virus that's occurring before we have any treatments or vaccinations.
And I've heard people say that the pneumonia shot can help.
You know, we're saying to everybody, get your flu shot and get your pneumonia shot if you're from a vulnerable population around the pneumonia shot, especially. Everyone should be getting their flu shot. The more immunity that you have, the better off you're going to be if you develop something else that isn't even COVID.
Is this something that you saw coming, Helen?
Oh, that's a really tough question. Were we all alerted and aware when China was going through what they're going through? Absolutely, yes. Did we expect in September last year that in December we would see this? Absolutely not. But what is kind of extraordinary about our public health systems around the world, around the government, around the federal government, and around locally is how incredibly organized we are now and how the systems that we have in place through the CDC and the Department of Health and then at our local sites with our infection preventionists and infectious disease doctors, it works very, very well together. And so while we weren't expecting this, we have a very good system at which we can work a response to something.
That's comforting to hear. Helen, what about if we think we have some symptoms? Should we come to the Allina Clinic or should we self-isolate if we're not in a vulnerable group?
You know, that's a great question because things have changed a lot in the last day. We have a lot of information coming from various sources, even up to this morning, that we should still get tested as much as possible, even when we don't have symptoms. And we changed at the Minnesota Department of Health and at Allina and the other systems in Minnesota, changed to not testing patients unless they're hospitalized. So a clinic, an emergency room, is not the place anymore where you can go just to get tested to see if you're positive. This issue around testing availability and the availability of the materials needed to test has gotten critical here. So we have reduced testing to being for hospitalized patients only. Now, I don't want that to concern everyone because the answer is, whether you're symptomatic or not, stay home and self-monitor. When you are symptomatic, when you've got that fever and a cough, unless you need to come to the hospital like you would for any time that you're very sick. We all make our own decisions about that. If I feel like I need to go to the hospital because I'm in trouble and I need to go to the emergency room, come. But if it's just you want to be confirmed about whether you have the COVID virus, no, we don't want you to come then. We want you to use all the online tools that we have. We have assessments available 24 hours a day that you can do online at alinahealth.org. Those testing and assessments are looked at by a provider 24 hours a day, and a plan of care is developed for you. We also have the ability for you to phone in to talk to someone if you want to have someone to talk to about that. And we have virtual visits as well with providers where you can talk through an iPad or your phone and have a conversation. So there are lots of ways for you to get the support you need to decide whether you need to come to the emergency room. But I never want anyone to hesitate to call 911 if they are really in a threatening situation.
Have there been any cases in Hastings?
I don't know about Dakota County, but I think you can find that out on the Minnesota Department of Health website. The majority of the times, actually the vast majority of times now, patients are not hospitalized when they are positive. And that's important to know. We are preparing for and developing plans should we have a surge of patients who require hospitalization and get sick. But today at Regina and all our hospitals, we are not seeing that surge of patients in the hospitals. We're seeing that patients are be able to stay home in their homes in the community.
What else can we do as the public to help?
Well, what our number one concern right now, honestly, is around people getting all the information they need about COVID, but it's about blood donations, Mo. The nation needs us right now to be giving blood. And I'd love to ask Hastings to see what they can do in our community to keep our blood buses coming and to get our folks to be able to donate blood. We have a nationwide shortage in platelets right now. They are particularly at risk because they only last 5 days. So we need to, in Hastings and our surrounding communities, help out our Red Cross and our other companies that support blood donation and be able to donate blood.
Helen, we're so grateful that you called in today, and we want to thank you for keeping us informed and keeping us calm. Helen Strike, she's the president of the Regina Hospital in Hastings and the River Falls Hospital, and also she is the Alina Health Systems Incident Commander. Great to chat with you again, Helen. Thank you.
Thank you. You too, Mo.
And
bye-bye.
You are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.